scratch about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Check, check, check. Hot mic, hot mic. 1, 2, 1, 2. Check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Ha ha. Ha ha. Check. Check, 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 check.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
You know what? I think men are better than women. They provide for us, and we must obey them because they are our masters.
I wouldn't dance for another. I wouldn't dance for another. Groove is in the house.
There's something very disturbing about the testicles.
The testicles are like the ears of the genital system. They serve a very important function, but they're not that great to look at.
And now...
alcohol tastes good. I like it.
Our feature presentation.
Check, check, 1, 2, 1, 2, check, check, 1, 2.
Took care
check,
of that.
1, 2, already, check, hello, hey, sounds great.
We're on
already took care of that just a minute ago. Muggs was just checking.
Check, 1, 2, check, hello, 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 check, 1, 2. This is track number one. Track number one, right channel.
Okay.
Check
that's
one.
Right
two.
Ear, yeah.
Hey, hey, hey. Here we go.
Okay, center.
Check one,
right.
Two. Hey,
listen,
hey,
Muggs already did
hey.
This.
There we go. There we go. All right. Good sound. Good sound.
Good sound.
Check. Check. Hello. 1, 2. Check. Check. 1, 2. Test. Track three. Track three.
Check. Check. Check.
Thank God. Track three check. Is working.
Oh, yep. Turn that down. Check. 1, 2. 1, 2. Check. Over.
All right.
That is over the limit. Over the limit. Here we go. Hello.
Turn that down.
Over still.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Test. If I get down here, check 1, 2. Check
yeah.
1, 2.
Get down here.
Here we go.
Check. Check 1, 2. Check.
All right.
Check 1, 2.
I think it works.
Almost done. Almost done.
Check 1, 2.
All right.
Check 1, 2.
We're good.
Check 1, 2.
Oh, that was too hot.
Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2. Hello 1, 2.
Right.
That doesn't work. We're hello. Check
getting,
1, 2.
Getting
check.
Worse.
Why is that so goddamn distorted? Check.
It
hello.
Is distorted.
Hello. 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 Hello.
All right.
Hello. Check 1, 2. Hey. Check 1, 2. Check 1, 2.
I think
hey.
We're good.
Hey. Hey. Wow. Much better. Hello. Yeah.
Much
one,
better. All right.
Two.
Let's just call it there.
Check. 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 Yeah. Yeah. Here we go. Here we go.
Here we go.
Yeah. Sounds good. Sounds good.
We're at it.
And sounds good. Sounds good. Sounds
way overboard. Check 1, 2.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow morning.
Are we good now? Do we feel like we're on the air?
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 7th of April.
First of all, why don't the Kings do like Chip's Ducks do and just get in the playoffs with like a month to play in the regular season, first of all?
That's hurtful.
That is. But wouldn't that be the way to go? Does that
well,
sound
I mean,
like a better plan?
Yeah, it would be
cause,
better.
Because Chip's just sitting back just with her feet up going, well, I guess eventually the playoffs will start, but right now we're good.
You can't
right?
keep throwing Chip in my face because she's
yeah.
just...
Not
she,
a real fan.
I think she just decided like this year to become a fan because she yes. lives near them.
Everyone's got to start somewhere, man.
Ever.
No one was born before the franchise.
Yeah, but they're not Chip's Ducks.
Yeah.
they are she's Chip's
just,
Ducks.
She's just Ducks.
Chip, they're your team, right?
100%.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the Ducks clinched, I don't know, December, but we're still
yeah,
working
I think so.
We're still working on it, so.
I'm just saying I feel like that gives the fans fewer opportunities for heart attacks to do it that way.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah, there's a lot of clenching happening.
Yes,
a lot of clenching. Your butt has never looked better, Allie. I got to tell you
thank
that.
Thank you for noticing. Appreciate
very
it.
Very tight.
Thank you.
Hey, real quick, I know we have a very busy show for today, but I have to mention this for two reasons. One is we were talking about the Guinness Book World Records yesterday, the Easter egg hunt in Sacramento that was trying to get into the book and did not. Here's something that happened over the weekend that is going to make it into the Guinness Book World Records, and I am particularly interested in this because, you know, I plan to live to be 100, and this woman may be my role model. Her name is Miko Nagoka. She lives in Tokyo. She is 100.
Okay.
And she just became the world's first centenarian to complete a 1,500-meter freestyle swim. She took up long-distance swimming at 80, and she's been enjoying it ever since. So she's only been doing it for 20 years. But she set a record for people over 100, and it took her – how long did it take her? An hour and 15 minutes, I want to say?
Loser. That's a long time, right?
An hour and 15 minutes to finish the race. She competed in the 100 to 104-year-old category in a town in western Japan.
How do they even have that category?
How many people was she against?
I mean, really, it's just got to be her.
There are over 59,000 100-year-olds in Japan, by the way, as of last September.
Okay, that's mind-blowing, but do they all swim?
No, they don't all swim.
Okay.
No. Anyway, in case you're wondering, I have something to compare it to. The current world record for that race, the 1500-meter freestyle, is 15 and a half minutes, and that's from an 18-year-old American. So she took quite a bit longer. She took an hour longer.
That's what I'm saying.
She's 100.
But she's 100, though. She's 100. Also in Japan, by the way, there's a sprinter named Hidekichi Miyazaki, who was 103 when he took the world record for the 100-meter dash in the same category, the 100 to 104 age category.
She's a bitch.
Under 30 seconds, by the way, he raced that. Under 30 seconds for a 100-meter dash for a guy who's 103.
Yeah.
Isn't it curious? By the way, he's known as the Golden Bolt in Japan.
Sure.
I don't know how to break this to you, Bean, but
I'm going to live to be 100.
I don't think you're on that trajectory, if I could say it that way.
That was great, though.
Well, I mean,
why?
Because
I'm the healthiest person you've ever met in your life.
Well,
except for that. I mean,
except
I am.
For fainting. Fainting while sitting.
While sitting is the key.
I'm super healthy. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, how about let's give it up for old Japanese people, right?
Said it for years. Well, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Then.
That's all I've said. All right. Back to you.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amicho, shall we?
I don't think people say that's good. I think they'll say, I definitely don't care.
We're going to talk to Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Yeah, love who, MPG.
He really is the best. He's coming in studio. He's got a charity event. He's got some movies coming up that we want to talk about, so that's coming up this morning. Would you like to take that back?
I would not.
Mm-mm.
Well, you're going to have many chances, Bean, so let's not jump to any conclusions, as you are, Allie.
Oh.
I'll wait to see what the evidence is that's presented, I guess.
Yeah, it'll be presented. Don't worry about that. World premiere of Avengers, Age of Ultron. So that's coming up this morning as well. We will take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. Hello, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:55.
By the way, Coachella is happening this weekend. Am I correct about that?
Yes, you are. Yes, it is.
And as you know, we've been giving away tickets every afternoon starting at 5. Well, this week, it's even better and different because we're giving away tickets every hour all day long starting at 9 a.m. So that means on our show this morning at 9 o'clock, you can win tickets for Coachella. And then at 10, 11, noon, all the way throughout the afternoon till 5. Not only that, you get access to the K-Rock Coachella house, plus you qualify to drive home in a new car, a 2015 turbocharged Fiat Abarth. Grand prize winner is going to be drawn at the K-Rock Coachella house this Friday morning on the Kevin Bean Show. So pretty sweet deal. New car and Coachella.
So weird just to go, hey, here's a car.
Yeah. Hey, enjoy the concert.
It just doesn't happen. Unless you're on The Price is Right. That just doesn't happen. True. So, all right. It is 5:56 Tuesday morning on The Kevin and Bean Show and the return of the Garmin, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, thank God.
Hey, Ralph.
Hey, boys and girls.
What's happening?
Welcome back. Sam Worthington and his supermodel wife, Laura Bingle, have welcomed their first child into the world. It's a baby boy born here last week in Los Angeles, and they have a name for him.
Hmm. Showbiz bad name? Or
oh,
just...
yeah.
Oh, good. Mm.
One of the classics.
Oh.
This goes into the pantheon. According to the New York Post, page 6, the couple named their young son Rocket Zot Worthington.
Ah, that's so awesomely bad.
Rocket.
Rocket.
Middle name Zot.
Z-O-T.
Z-O-T? Worthington.
I would expect that from Nicolas Cage, not so much from Sam Worthington. What's
a classic.
Zot mean?
Oh.
Is there a history there?
What does rocket mean?
Who knows?
Well, rocket, at least we know that word.
It's not a name. I know
that.
It's
not a name. No, it's not a name. It's a dog's name is what it is.
Rocket Zot Worthington.
Zot. That's
maybe they had a dog. Just says a male child here. Doesn't say, you know,
no,
human or canine.
Good thinking.
That'd be awesome if they had a puppy.
She delivered a puppy?
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Well, it'd be weird. Well. Yeah.
Mindy Kaling. Didn't get all the sense of humor in her family. Us Weekly reports that her older brother, Vijay Chokhal Ingham, has just written a new book about his adventures as a medical student. Okay. Sounds boring, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until you read the title. Almost Black. Semicolon. The true story of an Indian American who got into medical school posing as an African American.
Really?
Wow. Yes. He was determined to become a doctor. But his grades weren't good enough. So he shaved his head, and he trimmed his eyelashes, and he joined the Organization of Black Students on campus using his middle name, JoJo.
What?
All right.
VJ claims he suddenly became a serious contender for some of the greatest medical schools in America with a GPA of 3.1.
Wow.
And ended up going to medical school.
How about that? Huh.
Using the race card, if you will, and then wrote a book about it.
Minority, can I come to your school now?
All right, come on in. He says, although he did get harassed by the cops when he's posing as a black man, store clerks accused me of shoplifting, and women were either scared of me or couldn't keep their hands off me, he said. So that sounds like a book I'd like to read. Juliana Rancic has also written a book. Why? Who needs to know about the life of Juliana Rancic?
Who needs to know any of
that? She's the chick on E! Who asks people questions on the red carpet, right? Why doesn't Beer Mug write his memoirs then?
That's a great idea.
Just people just who ask other interesting people about their lives.
Hang on just a second. Hey, Muggs, you need to write a book. All right, go ahead.
Can he talk back to us? Or
I don't know if he can on the air or not.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Why'd you push that button over there?
That would be so awesome.
Couldn't he just hear you if he talked to the microphone?
He was just looking in the window.
That's a real
the station's on in the other room.
You're
why
assuming.
Is there a button being pushed like it's some sort of special intercom to the two of you?
You're assuming that he's listening, which sometimes he's not.
Well, how do you know he's listening to whatever button you pushed over there?
The intercom blasts his room right at him.
Oh, yes, okay.
I heard it, but I don't have the access.
Yeah, he can't answer us back.
That's good.
So I don't know why you're
more
pushing buttons over there.
Write a book.
Maybe Kevin should write a book. Why don't you write a book, Kevin? You should write one, too.
If I could remember anything, I would.
This Juliana Rancic from E! This is the one. Look, I understand she was sick and she beat cancer, right, with her husband Bill or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that is a story there, but not exactly, sadly, unique. But she has written her life story. And the only detail that seems to be circulating is the fact that her ex-boyfriend cheated on her. Her ex-boyfriend, apparently, at the time was Jerry O'Connell, who I love.
Hollywood treasure, Jerry O'Connell?
That's right.
Yeah.
Cheated on her back when they dated in 2003 and 2004 with, first, Ginger Spice. Boom! Well done!
Which you support.
You're so jealous,
Jerry O'Connell. By the way, Julianne Rennick says, I can't believe he cheated me with one of the lesser Spice Girls. F you, you alien-looking freak.
We talked about this just for a second yesterday, and we were trying to guess, like, who would be the lesser Spice Girl. And it's not her.
No, it's Sporty, obviously.
Sporty. That's what we came up with. Sporty.
Yeah. Sporty's the lesser.
Yes. Yep.
So you've done the story already. Then I should not continue.
Yeah, I did it for 5 minutes, but go ahead.
And then he cheated on her and eventually dumped her for Rebecca Romijn.
That's an upgrade.
I mean,
he's not doing
already bad. Voluminous appreciation of Jerry O'Connell has just skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Well done, Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah.
Juliana Rancic, you have done nothing but increased my admiration for Jerry O'Connell. And somehow, I didn't think it was possible, decreased mine for you. You giant alien-looking freak, giant head alien bobble freak head freak.
So you like her?
Freak, did I mention?
You said freak, I think.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Jackie Chan. 61 years old today. He's still chopping and still sockying.
What?
Jackie Chan.
Socking?
Chop socky. Hi-ya! Okay. Russell Crowe's 51 years old today. Still drinking, I'm guessing. One of my buddies and the wife of my partner, Jennifer Schwalbach-Smith, celebrates her birthday today. Happy birthday, Jen. She's 44. And Francis Ford Coppola. This dude makes movies and wine. Yeah. And does both very, very well. 76 years old today. Do you remember the time I went to his house and interviewed him for the show?
I sat
down with him, had a little taped interview with Francis Ford Coppola.
I sure do. That was exciting.
I remember sitting there, coming to his house, first of all, which was intimidating as hell. And then him saying, can I get you something? You want a cappuccino? And I said, yeah, the Godfather's going to make me a cappuccino. And so I waited for the manservant to come out or the maid or his assistant or whatever to make the thing. And he gets up, goes into the kitchen, disappears for 5 minutes, makes me a cappuccino with his cappuccino machine, comes back in, puts it down in front of me. He did that himself. And I said, this is Francis Ford Coppola.
He's supposed to have...
I wouldn't have asked if I knew he was actually going to have to go to some trouble.
He's supposed to have people that he could ask to do that.
Exactly.
He must have felt like a jackass.
Then I woke up the next day with a horse's head in my back. So I made the wrong choice. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You seem to get a lot of glee out of this feature, Kevin. Is that because the spotlight's not on you when it comes time to this?
That is sort of good.
Because... you get to point out all the other bad in the room?
Well, it's just, this isn't normally my sense of humor, so I don't try these kinds of jokes. So it is sort of fun for me in that when we do Moments With and everything else, I dominate. I'd rather just sit back and enjoy.
Well, in case you're wondering, we're talking about Would You Like to Take That Back?
Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you, would you, could you take that back? Would you like to take that back? Would you like to take that back? Tell me, would you, if you could, you, would you, could you take that back?
All right, we replay stuff that we've done on the show, and let's be honest, we try to be funny, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. And this is a little feature where we'll replay a piece of the show, and then we'll give somebody a chance to take it back. Maybe in retrospect, it wasn't the joke you thought it was.
That happens. Sure.
And we begin with the reigning king, Bean.
How dare you?
Remember Ralph was doing in the showbiz that some dudes stole a goat, and then they were going to ask the girl to go to prom with them?
Yep.
Then this happened.
Do you think the follow-up plan was after will you goat to prom with me was then to say after prom will you sheep with me?
Oh.
But.
Would you like to take that back?
I mean.
Well, it was certainly met with a lot of applause, wasn't it?
It did silence the room, if that matters.
It did. That's kind of chilling, actually, to hear
that.
I think a sheep joke on top of a goat joke is appropriate. I don't believe I'll take that back at all, actually. I'm going
to
say no this time.
What a shock.
All right, this is Ralph, and he has been making the comparison with George Ezra and somebody else, another famous singer, and he gets firmly put in the file with this one.
I think you're onto something, Ralph. I think that's Adam Sandler.
Oh, do. Kevin Jensen, who made a movie, and I think you're going to like it. Ooh, doobie-doo.
Why is he using the name George Ezra? That's very strange.
No idea.
That is Budapest on K-Rock 106.7.
I think Adam better than Ezra.
Whoa.
Come on.
No, file.
Oh, no. Yeah.
File with extreme prejudice.
Yeah. No.
Hey,
No.
Would you like to take that back? I reiterate.
No. No!
I'm with you. That was beautiful.
No.
That was a beautifully crafted...
How much better could that be?
Yes.
Than what it was? And you want to play the file? God damn you right to hell!
No, it goes in the file. It's just you could not take it back, which I support.
How dare I?
Look, a lot of people were charged with crimes and then acquitted.
We're back to Bean. Hard to believe.
Michael Keaton, hosting SNL. How about that? How's that for an idea?
That's fantastic.
That is the best thing I've heard in a long time. I might watch Saturday Night Live again with M. Keats.
He's a terrific actor.
He will be hosting on April the 4th. Hosting the show for a third time, by the way. Musical guest, Carly Rae Jepsen. That new song of hers is catchy. She's the queen of the catchy songs.
Would you say that you really, 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 really like it?
File. Would you like to take that back?
Because her new song is, I really, 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 really like it.
I don't hate that. But I'm not going
to defend it.
I will take that one back.
All right, good.
Wow.
A rare take back.
I'm about 50-50, you guys. You know that.
And you're the healthiest man in the world.
And I'm the healthiest man in the world.
All right, now we're up to Allie. And here's the interesting thing about Allie is that she throws away a lot of these under just like, oh.
Yeah, sure.
So you sort of don't hear it, except for then we catch it, and we can boost
she's
levels.
She's like a ninja terrorist.
She is, yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
She doesn't bomb you. She sneaks in the middle of the night and slits your throat.
Now, what's that about, Allie?
Is that,
I'm sorry, I didn't realize you heard that. Is that a lack of commitment in the bit for you? Why don't you own it?
Yeah. Occasionally, maybe it is. I'm going to have to hear this to really let you know.
All right.
I didn't even get to Spandau Ballet playing their first show ever in San Diego. I'm super excited, by the way.
That can't be true.
Oh! File you. Would you like to take that back? File you is my new favorite curse.
File you.
We should mention, for people who aren't old, that Spandau Ballet's biggest hit song, most recognizable song, is called True. And that's what Allie was going for.
Is it?
That's how she...
Oh, like you didn't know.
That's how she puts the poison in your drink. Would you like to take that back?
Nope.
Wow!
You're not going to take back that one?
You are. You are shameless.
You're
a shameless devil. Pussy.
You are the devil.
Yeah.
We're back to Ralph.
All right, Ishmael, what's going on with you, brother?
It's a rough life, guys.
Ishmael, what should we call you?
Call me Ishmael.
Come on. Big time.
even though I know Muggs didn't get that. That was terrible.
What? Right over my head.
Would you like to take that back?
Come on. Not only should I not take it back, not only should it not be in the file, but maybe one of the greatest moments in Kevin and Bean history.
It was awesome.
Really? You think maybe one of the greatest moments in Kevin
Easily.
In history?
Easily. How many times do you run up against an Ishmael, first of all?
That's true.
That is true. Everyday life.
That is true.
And then how, when you get to just lay down the Moby Dick smack, come on. Come on. That was glorious.
Moby Dick smack.
Played the troop last night.
We're going to put you down as a
I would say no, sir.
No.
Respectfully.
And finally, Allie McKay.
Phil Collins.
Guilty.
He's not in charge of anything.
But people keep Sue studioing.
Oh, oh no, you didn't! Just file. So file.
So file.
Not enough file.
Plain prejudice.
File. Give her own drawer in the file. Not just file, but let's bypass the file and go right to the death penalty.
You are so jealous, Bean, that I came up with that.
That was pretty strong.
Thank you.
Would you like to take that back?
We had just been talking about Pharrell and the lawsuit and all
you
of that.
You made a Susu Studio joke.
I did, and I'll make
Would
it
you
again.
Like to take that, back?
That was awesome.
Wow.
You can file that under awesome is what you can do. Nope. Not taking it back.
Would you like to take that back?
You're standing
you
by.
You're wrong, but you're bold. I'll
you're,
give you that.
You're standing by. All he did was mention Phil Collins' name, and you said, Susu Studio.
Well, because Bean said guilty and then suing, that's funny if you're old.
All right, well, there you go. That's another edition of.
Would you like to take that back?
Coming up next, we have a game for you to go to the world premiere of Avengers Age of Ultron.
Fantastic. Now, Ralph Garman, these are your people we're looking for. Anything
yes.
in particular you want us to ask?
Just got
to
know your Marvel superheroes. The Avengers, of course, are Marvel's greatest superhero team. So just know your Marvel superheroes, and you should do fine in the next game.
All right. The movie's out everywhere on May 1st, Avengers Age of Ultron. You get to see it at the world premiere on April the 13th. Call now 1-800-520-1067. You win those tickets next on K-Rock. It's all about Avengers, Age of Ultron in theaters everywhere on May the 1st. You can see it at the world premiere. That's with the stars, right, Ralph?
Yeah, everybody's going to be there as far as I know.
You hanging out with Chris Evans and Mark Ruffalo and Robert Downey Jr. and the whole crew, April 13th at the Dolby Theater. What's this game called, please?
It's called Secret Identities.
Let's hear.
All right.
Secret Identities.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we've got a full rack of calls. These are your people on hold. Ralph, what are they going to need to do to win their way into the world premiere?
Well, as you can maybe extrapolate from the intro, I will be giving you the secret identity of a legendary Marvel superhero.
This is secret identities.
And then what you need to do is tell me what superhero we're talking about. So I'll give you the secret identity. You give me the superhero name.
That sounds pretty straightforward.
Pretty simple.
All right.
These are all big time, Joe. I'm not going to ruin you with some tiny little characters. These are all major players in the Marvel Universe.
Let's start in Whittier and say hi to Raul. Hi there.
Hey.
Hey, Raul. You know your Marvel superheroes?
Yes, I do.
Well, then this should be a piece of cake. Scott Summers.
Cyclops.
From the X-Men. Well done, sir.
Boom. No drawing. You got in.
You are going to the premiere. Boom.
By the way, you mentioned this, I think, a couple days ago or even at the end of last week, but this is like 2 weeks ahead of it actually coming into theaters.
It's an amazing price.
The screening. It's amazing.
Yes.
Adam in Santa Clarita. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Adam. Here's your question. Benjamin Grimm.
That's the thing.
He is the thing, indeed, sir.
Oh, your people know it.
They know. These are easy. I'm serving them up softballs.
It's clobbering
time. It's clobbering time.
I got it. You've done two gentlemen already. Kevin, why don't you go to any of the ladies on hold for the next one?
All right, Leo, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Leo, I need the secret identity name of Johnny Blaze.
The Human Torch.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You would think with a name like Johnny Blaze, it would be the Human Torch. No, but it's actually the Ghost Rider. The Ghost Rider was Johnny Blaze.
Sorry,
Leo.
Motorcycle stuntman Johnny Blaze became the Ghost Rider.
Troy in North Hills. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Troy. Here's your here's your secret identity. Johnny Storm.
Oh, that's the Human Torch.
That's the Human Torch. Boom. Right there. Boom. That's how you roll.
Nicely done.
Congratulations. You're going to the premiere.
All right. That's three. What do we have? Five of them? Robert in Whittier. Hi.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Good, Robert. James Howlett. James Howlett.
I don't know.
Oh, this is a little bit of a tough one. Usually he's known by the name of Logan. We're talking about the Wolverine. The Wolverine.
Because Howlett, you howl like a wolf. That's what I would have said. Good night, everybody.
Starting the file over right now.
Yep.
How about that?
She's pulled her drawer out and she's not even dumping files in.
We can't even give us just a breath after the last one. Javier and Pico Rivera.
That's what she would have said.
People.
because wolves howl, and he's a Wolverine, which is not a wolf at all.
Right.
So the logic is inescapable, really, when you think about it. Javier, here you go. Here's your secret identity. Carol Danvers. Carol Danvers.
Carol Danvers.
Yes.
Is there any hint?
The name Carol Danvers.
Her name is Carol Danvers. That's the hint.
And she's a Marvel superhero.
She is a Marvel superhero. She's been two, actually.
I don't know. Miss Marvel. I don't know.
Yeah! Well done. Nice ball.
Oh, really?
Wow. Stab in the dark, and he got it. Sweet.
Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel and Captain Marvel. Either one, we would have taken, that would have been acceptable. Congratulations.
I got to tell you, that's not trying very hard, right? Miss Marvel?
Right.
Mr. Marvel or whatever? That's nonsense.
All right. All right, we got one more pair of tickets to the premiere of Avengers Age of Ultron.
And we have Carlos in Whittier. Hi there.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, Carlos, here is your question. Give me the superhero name of Aurora Monroe. Aurora Monroe.
I'm going to say Storm.
Storm is correct,
You're
sir.
You're going to say Storm because it's the right answer.
You're going to the Age of Ultron premiere. Boom!
Nicely done. Thanks for playing the game.
This is Secret Identities.
Oh! 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:54.
Our friend Ralph Garman joins us now for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. And Mark Paul Gosselaar joins us in studio in about 15 minutes or so. Very much looking forward to that. What's going on, Ralph?
My old NYPD Blue co-star.
Sure.
Back in the days, we used to star in that show together.
Well, he was the star of it.
One of the stars, yes. Right. I was one of the other of the stars.
Okay. All right.
And you were on
Dennis Franz.
Two episodes?
How dare you?
Oh, do I have that?
Was it one?
You want to guess again, smartass?
Wow, really? I can't believe it was more than two.
Oh, can't you? I was a recurring character. How about 9 episodes?
How about that?
Over 2 seasons.
I had no idea. Then your co-star from NYPD Blue, Mark Paul Gosselaar, is coming in then.
Me, Franz, Gosselaar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you have
that? Was it? I think that's how they used to.
Did you have equal billing?
That's how they used to bill us. I think. Yeah, I think it was Franz, Gosselaar, Garman. I think it's pretty much how it went.
Huh.
I don't know. It's fuzzy. I was doing a lot of coke back then.
Sure.
My memory's fuzzy.
I have an actual clip. I'm not. This is not a setup.
Bring a little Officer Gruden. Bring a little Gruden.
Female DOA in the garbage hole, wrapped up in a garbage bag. Helper saw her legs sticking out when they emptied the dumpster.
Any ID?
I didn't quite make my way into the hole yet.
That's why God made ESU.
They got a situation uptown. Said they'll send a unit from the Bronx.
So you waited for us?
I didn't want to disturb the scene.
We'll poke around till they get here.
Come on, people.
Boom!
Yeah.
A
lot of poking around holes.
Poking
around. I made those female detectives go in the garbage dump, not me! Because I was just a uni, man.
Sure.
That's what we call the uniformed officers there in the 2-3.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think Ralph has lost touch with reality.
You don't know, man.
I do.
Speaking of losing touch with reality...
Finally, what you've all been waiting for. Star Wars. In digital download form.
Star Wars!
Yeah.
You can now digitally download it.
Wait a second.
For the first time ever.
Is this a story from 25 years ago? What are we talking about here?
This is a story from right now. Star Wars is finally going to be available as a digital download. All 6 previous films, from 77's original Star Wars to the 2005 Revenge of the Sith, will be available starting April 10th as a collection or individually at iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, Xbox Video, PlayStation Store, Verizon Fios, all the usual suspects. You'll be able to download it digitally for your device and watch Star Wars right there.
Doesn't it seem like they have been leaving a bunch of money on the table over the last 10 years by not having those available for digital download?
I'm surprised they're just getting to it.
Well, look, yeah. Lucas has been behind the times with all the new technology. It took a while for Star Wars to get available on DVD. It took forever,
yeah,
remember
true.
That?
Yeah,
then they released it. So, finally, Star Wars fans are able to watch Star Wars on their phone. As it was
Friday.
As it was meant to be seen. On a 3x2-inch screen. The only way to really appreciate the majesty that is Star Wars. I'll tell you, when that ship comes overhead, yeah, at the opening credits, it's as if you're looking at a pencil. It's very impressive. A pencil that just stretches on forever.
But the sound is good. So you got that
right,
going for
you. Got that. So, really, finally now, you get Star Wars the way it was meant to be enjoyed.
Kevin, do you have any movies that you love so much that you insist on carrying them with you everywhere, like you keep them on your computer, your iPad, or your phone, or something like that, just so they're always available for you? Because I can see people doing that with Star Wars, like wanting to have that in the permanent collection.
Just you travel with it, you mean? Like,
yeah.
It's on your phone?
Yeah, you just
forever?
Like to have it as a go-to.
Bourne Identity, maybe? The Bourne movies? But I don't really keep anything there permanently. Do you?
Yeah.
Do you,
you have to.
Why else would you think other people
I've kept It's a Wonderful Life on my phone for a number of years.
On your phone?
On your phone.
Yes.
In case an emergency breaks out, you need to
see that
away.
You find yourself stuck in a situation where you've got a bunch of time
to kill. You're on the ferry
and
you immediately need to know if the angel got its wings.
It's nice to have it.
Freak.
I'm just saying.
What's wrong with you?
It's my favorite movie. I just like having it around.
What are you going to watch it? 30 seconds at a pop while you're just going about your day?
Sometimes.
Sit down and watch the movie!
I've done that too, but I'm saying sometimes it's nice to just have it available. It's like having your favorite song. It's just fun to be able to revisit whenever you're in the mood.
Your favorite song's 3 minutes. It's A Wonderful Life is 90.
I'm just saying a lot of people will probably be happy to have Star Wars. That's all.
I agree. You're odd.
Allie's got a Darth Vader ring on today.
I do.
She's got a gold Darth Vader ring.
That's pretty strong.
I don't joke around with my love for Darth. In all things.
What's that all about? Are you a huge Star Wars fan?
I thought I was Princess Leia as a kid. I would wear a headband and jam bagels on either side because I had short hair.
Uh-huh.
That's a little look into my childhood.
You wore a helmet to school, didn't you? You were on that shorter bus. You were on the short
helmet,
bus.
Helmet, so I thought it was a hat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. Disney, say what you want about them. They know what they're doing. Speaking of Star Wars, their live-action Cinderella, the live-action version of their legendary animated classic Cinderella, just passed the $400 million mark around the world yesterday.
Okay. All right. So they win.
They win. It has some way to go to pass the Maleficent, another one of its live-action adaptations of its animated classic Sleeping Beauty. That pulled in more than $750 million worldwide. And in case you're curious, Alice in Wonderland, yet another live-action interpretation of an animated classic, pulled in more than $1 billion worldwide. So when I get on here and I say, what's Disney thinking making a live-action Winnie the Pooh?
Yeah.
The answer is they're making a lot of money.
Thinking about $1 billion.
Shut up, dumbass, is what really Disney's response should be.
Can you guys think of a Disney fail? Because I can't. I think pretty much everything
they
have the best batting average, I think, in the world with that.
Especially now that they're taking their classics and their favorite, beloved films and sort of repackaging them as live action. Their track record's been pretty much perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stupid Disney doing everything right.
Doing everything right.
It's funny, Ralph, because I don't remember people loving Alice in Wonderland. I don't remember there being a buzz on that movie as being good.
Oh, Bean.
Sure was successful.
Oh, contraire, mon frère.
Really? People liked it?
Oh, people loved it. There was a rabid fan base for that. If you go to Comic-Cons and stuff today, you'll still see a ton of people cosplaying as the Mad Hatter's Johnny Depp's character. Very much so.
Kevin
is busy watching that movie on his phone.
That's right. He's been watching a 100-year-old film on his phone to notice that people loved Alice in Wonderland.
The answer that comes up if you want to find a Disney movie flop, Kevin, is The Lone Ranger.
Okay.
John Carter and Prince of Persia. Those seem to be the big three.
Saw all three.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Why would you see the Prince of Persia thing? Why would you go see that?
Look good.
That was Jake Gyllenhaal running around with his shirt off, right?
I look good.
Yeah. John Carter, the one about the guy from the Civil War who goes to Mars?
I want a good movie.
Well, pick one then. Stop going to those obviously bad movies. Jiminy Cricket.
Ralph is always baffled by my movie tastes.
And
always.
And your language.
Yeah. That too.
I did like Lone Ranger, though, too. I enjoyed that.
Yeah,
as well.
I thought Lone Ranger was way so underrated.
One of three there we can actually agree on. Today's celebrity birthdays, my buddy Jennifer Schwalbach, married to Kevin Smith for many years. She's celebrating her 44th birthday today. Russell Crowe is 51. Jackie Chan, 61 years old today. And legendary film director Francis Ford Coppola turned 76 years old today. He told me in an interview a few years back that he can't make a movie in Hollywood anymore. No one will hire him.
That's crazy.
He can make his own film if he'll pay for it himself. But he can't take a project to any major studio anymore and get his work greenlit.
Is it just too much money?
He makes kind of movies that nobody makes anymore, first of all.
Yeah.
And Hollywood thinks he's too old.
Huh.
And
that's shocking.
No one has any interest in any project he brings anymore. So if he does work, which he does rarely, it's money that he has raised himself or he uses his profits from his winery. Huh. And that's how he makes a movie.
It's sad. The studios seem to only be willing to finance things that are billion-dollar movies, right? Movies that are gonna that they know are gonna make $400-500 million around the world. They're not interested in something that's gonna make $60 million.
If Francis Ford Coppola brought the Play-Doh movie to Universal, then maybe he could get it greenlit because that's happening. Because that's a movie that's happening.
That's happening.
Play-Doh. The Play-Doh movie
for real
is a real thing for real.
That wasn't a joke. That wasn't a joke. That has been greenlit.
Any idea Francis Ford Coppola has in his head? No, thank you. We're not interested.
Did you say Play-Doh?
Play-Doh, the Play-Doh movie. Okay. Please enjoy. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Mark Paul Gosselaar in the studio in a minute.
Yes, he is. By the way, actor Josh Gad is going to join us later on this week. Jim Rome going to be talking sports on Thursday. Marina Baccarin on Friday. And next week, our guests include Steve Aoki and Paul Feig. So we got some good stuff coming up here on The Kevin Bean Show. Hey, you guys ready for a little Real King, Fake King?
Found a celebrity who Bean can make fun of.
Tweeting.
Bean can make fun of the tweets of this person, and that's hard to find.
Yeah, really.
I'm not making fun of Mr. King's tweets at all, by the way. I think this feature is a tribute to the great Larry King. He's
sure.
A broadcasting legend for over 50 years, television, radio, now the internet. He's in the National Association of Broadcasters Hall of Fame, so you know he's got to be great, right? And he does a thing on Sunday nights where he just tweets whatever's on its mind. He calls it My Two Cents. And we thought it might be fun to read some of these tweets, and you tell us whether they are real Larry King tweets. And if they are, you'll hear this sound effect.
Will Glenda be there?
Or are they made-up Larry King tweets, in which case you'll hear this.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
All right. So we'll go around the room. Kevin, we start with you. You are up first. This is Real King, Fake King.
I'm always the worst at this game. All right. Go.
I don't know why anyone would still grow – excuse me. I don't know why anyone would grow a beard. I don't know why anyone would grow a beard.
Fake.
Boy, no. I think that's real. I think that's prime Larry. I don't think he believes in facial hair. He grew up in a time when there was no facial hair, before men grew mustaches and beards. Doesn't believe in it.
All right.
Real, I say real.
He is married to a Mormon woman, and you can't have a beard at BYU. I, too, say fake.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
Fake Larry King. Yes, that is true. All right.
Can we stop now? I'm tied for the lead.
Up next, I rarely use lip balm. I rarely use lip balm. I believe Rob is up first.
Yep.
No, he's got big, giant, moist lips. I would say he often uses lip balm, so I would say that is fake, King.
Wow. I'm just picturing his moist lips.
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
I'm going to say real.
I'm going to say real as well.
Will Glenda be there?
Wow. Look at Kevin, by the way, huh? All right, up next, Allie, you were up first. The Kumquat, Nature's Sour Patch Kids. The Kumquat. Nature's Sour Patch Kids.
He's got a point, but he did not say that.
I agree. Fake.
He has no idea what Sour Patch Kids are. Yeah. Fake.
Will Glenda be there?
What?
What?
How about that? That is a real Larry King tweet from Sunday night.
Huh.
Does he have writers now?
He must.
That's insane.
By the way,
you know he doesn't tweet, right?
Yeah, tell the folks about that, because I don't think we've ever talked about that on the air.
No, he puts his stuff on Twitter, but he himself does not tweet.
So what is
he calls someone?
He has an assistant.
Okay, and he dictates his tweets, and then the assistant actually has to punch in the 140 characters.
A stenographer.
He does. He has a Twitter stenographer.
I would look forward to that call every week. I mean, yes, let's do
first,
this.
First, I think Larry puts it on wax cylinder,
right,
and then it runs through a ticker tape, and then it's taken by Pony Express, and then that person puts it on Twitter.
That's awesome.
What's the score here? Anyone keeping track?
Kevin's got two. I've got one.
Wow, look at that. Kevin in the
lead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we stop now?
I believe you're up first here, Kevin. Real King, Fake King. I wonder if anyone still uses a VCR.
Well, he is old. He's aware of technology. I'm going to go fake.
I think that's just sort of dull enough to be real. I think if someone's going to fake that one, to write that one, they would write something more interesting. That's real Larry, I think.
I think he still uses a VCR, so it wouldn't even occur to him
to
ask
assistant
that question.
Tape something on his VCR.
So fake.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
That one is also fake.
There you go.
How about that?
You know how I'm doing this, Bean? You know how I'm in the lead?
How?
I come up with what I think is the answer, and I go the opposite way.
It's good.
It's working for you
every time. I can't tell what's real or fake because the sound effect has the same dinging bell in front of each thing.
It shouldn't ding.
It shouldn't.
It should buzz.
That should be real.
Yeah.
The ding should be real, and then the fake should be another sound so I can understand what the hell's going on in this game because I'm completely confused at this point.
We'll send that one to the lab then. That one was, in fact, a fake one. All right, we got time for just a couple more.
All right.
Then our guest will be here. Ralph, I believe you're up first for this one.
All right.
Pineapple is a hell of a fruit.
Yes, real. Absolutely. And
pineapple
he's right.
is a hell of a fruit.
He's right and it's real.
That is fake. I don't think he'd say hell.
Oh.
Really?
He's got
a mouth like a sailor. Come on, Allie.
I'm going to go real.
Will Glenda be there?
That means real, right?
That means real.
Real. Okay. Yeah.
That's correct.
All right. Score, please.
Kevin, 4. Ralph, 1.
Woo!
Allie, 2. Kevin, you won this.
Kevin's crushing.
Basically, you
won.
All right, just crush for fun. Let's do one more.
You want me just to sit out because I'm so far ahead? Or of the show.
Allie, I believe you're up first for this.
Would be great.
Look up still great looking in the dictionary, and you get a picture of Robert Redford. Look
first
up still great looking in the dictionary, and you get a picture of
first
Robert
of all,
Redford.
Still great looking isn't in the dictionary because it's a sentence, okay? Larry, you dumbass.
Great point. I'm going to say real.
I'm going to say real, too, because who uses the terminology look it up in the dictionary anymore? You know what I mean? It seems like it's...
Google it? You think someone else would have said Google it?
Yeah.
Google it? Google's still great looking and a picture of
I'm
Robert
saying
Redford.
Look it up in the dictionary. That's an old...
is an old saying.
Yeah. So I think.
But I think someone who would say look it up in the dictionary would know that still great looking would not be in the dictionary because they're familiar with the dictionary and know that's three words.
Ooh. This is like Inception, man. It's getting too deep.
Yeah.
So I would say fake.
Will Glenda be there?
That one is also real, I'm sorry to say. Ralph, Kevin. Tough day for you, ladies and gentlemen. Kevin is our winner for Real King, Fake King.
Is it Larry King or are we fake king?
I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
You don't take
a national treasure like MPG and put him behind the wheel of a race car. That just is bad business. That's bad for America. What if something happens to his pretty face? Then where are we left? Am I right?
Oh, God.
Mark Paul Gosselaar joins us on the phone with Kevin Abicha. What's going on, man?
I should be in front of you guys right now is the problem.
Yeah, what
happened?
We thought you were going to be in studio.
I'm supposed to be in studio. I don't do – this is not how I do business, guys, but I'm that dick today.
Maybe today's not the day to say you're not the guy that does this.
You've come into our studio 10 times over the years. What happened today? What went wrong?
I would be honest, I have it's high stress time. I'm filming a pilot right now for NBC. Hopefully we get picked up for the fall. Everything's going great. It's just that, you know, we were there late last night. Our call got pushed. They forced a call, blah, blah, blah.
Crazy hours.
I also have a newborn. So through the night, I'm up with the wife kind of, you know, saying, you're doing a great job.
You can do it.
You can do it.
Wish I could help.
I wish I could help, and I need to get my sleep. Honestly, I didn't set the alarm for 6:30. So,
all right.
You know what? I'm going to say that I call BS on your show business. I'm filming a pilot. I call BS on that. But I will say newborn legitimate excuse. Wait, newborn is legit.
What are you calling BS? How do you call BS on his schedule?
Because Paul's a professional because he can work. He can burn the candle at both ends because he can work till after midnight and be up at the crack of ass because that's what he does because he's a man.
And that, you know what men do? They race cars.
That's right. Men race cars. Let's
that
talk about
was
that.
Sweet. That was a very good transition.
Yeah.
He's a professional, man. Have you done any kind of racing before, man?
The last NASCAR race that I did, which was back in September, I believe, I won it,
He won it. Yeah.
I won it. This is what
okay.
I do.
This is, this is what I do. All you do is win.
I don't know how to not win.
You try to not win. It just doesn't work.
It doesn't work. No, my background was motocross. I started racing motocross when I was five. My brother is Mike Gosler, who's like one of the most prolific mechanics in motocross history, still is. And then from motocross, I transitioned to cars.
Unbelievable.
So, now, you're sort of a ringer then, because this is a celebrity race, right?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, like I started off racing cars, I think, in 94. I did the Toyota Grand Prix of Long Beach, which everybody's familiar with. And there I got so hooked on it. I said, you know, why am I racing things with two wheels? Four wheels is easier.
Do the other celebrities look at you and go, Paul Gosler,
a little bit.
That guy
yeah.
has been racing for years.
Yeah, a little bit. But, you know, it's for charity, guys.
Right. Listen, we're good with it. I don't care. I'm just saying, do you get looked at that way?
Let me give out the information for folks who want to go down and see this thing in person. This is the High Point Racing and BMR Racing fundraiser for A Walk on Water. I'll ask you about that in a second, Mark Paul. The event is happening this Saturday at 4 at the Irwindale Speedway. It's just before the NASCAR King Taco Napa Parts Auto Spring Classic 150. Tickets are just $30. By the way, you can buy those at the Irwindale Speedwell box office, or you can go to bmrnapa.com. And you got a lot of great people. Dustin Penner, by the way, of Kings, is going to be racing. We got William Fichtner, great actor. Diedrich Bader, great actor. Rob Morrow, Skeet Ulrich. I mean, there's a lot of cool people racing this thing. What is this charity, A Walk on Water? That one is new to me.
You guys have is Swampy there?
Swampy's was in the lobby, I believe.
He was in the lobby waiting to meet
waiting
you.
Waiting for you to come in.
Impressive.
Oh, man. He's still waiting there?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
We're not going to tell him that you're not coming, by the way. We're going to see how long he stays in the lobby.
Oh, man. you got to bring him in because he wanted to talk about like the whole charity and all that stuff.
Walk on Water is a family of watermen sharing the therapeutic powers of the ocean with those in need. The primary goal is providing relief to families of children with special needs through surf therapy. How about that? Now, that's interesting.
Do you guys surf?
Poorly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get beat up. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I tried that. I used to think I could surf, you know, because it's cool to see you surf.
Yeah.
But it's hard, man.
No, if you're talking about actually surfing, no. I mean, I get on a board and then bite it. That's what I do.
That's not really surfing.
But you like, I mean, it's like getting in the water, though.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Yeah. See, and that's what this whole charity is about, is the importance of knowing how, you know, when you get in the water, it's like you're in a whole other world. And so it's like it's giving people the opportunity to do that. I mean, for me, I suck at surfing, but every time you get in the water, you're like, this is fantastic.
It sounds like a good charity. The surf therapy I'm not familiar with, but I'm reading about here. It says, children experience the true stoke of surfing and a sense of accomplishment as family and friends cheer them on from the beach. Brothers, sisters, parents participate together, helping solidify a sometimes strained bond between siblings. And it sounds like a good cause with a lot of great people showing up for this event on Saturday. Have you ever had any close calls in either motocross or auto racing, Mark Paul, where you started to rethink it because, you know, you don't want to get hurt, especially now with a baby?
So legally, I'm not entitled to discuss this, but you know, whether or not I've gotten hurt before. But,
oh, I see. You know, I understand.
There have been close calls in the past. I mean, this is all safe and fun, and you know, guys, I just need to get through this week.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't.
Wow.
When I said it's high stress over here in the Gosler household, this pilot means everything to me. Like, I can't. Like, oh, guess what? You're not doing the pilot because you're doing a race car race on Saturday. Which one's more important to you? It's
pilot way more important to you, and then on Saturday charity.
Charity. I mean, it's like I have one day, like we finish this pilot on Thursday, and then on Friday I'm back to being, you know, that guy that wants to hop in a race car and do things for charity.
I was going to ask how much training you do for a race like this.
You know, I used to train a lot. You know how you train, actually, is by doing go-karts. So I used to have shifter cars and go-karts. Yeah, because that's a way to get, like, seat time. I used to race open-wheel cars, so that, you know, the cars that have those wings and the wheels are showing and stuff like that.
Then I race, too, if it's just wheels. I mean, really, I've done that.
Yeah.
What's the fastest you've ever gone?
You know, there's no speedometer in these cars, and there's no speedometer in really race cars. It's just a tachometer. But I do know that on a motorcycle, when I used to race motorcycles, I used to do that road racing stuff, and I rode a street bike, and on a track, I did 160 on a motorcycle.
I don't like that.
All right.
No. That could go very wrong very quick.
Yeah. But
stop that.
You know why I didn't? MPG.
MPG. That's right. You know, all he does is win, you guys.
That's all he does is win.
Guys, very good point.
Guys with a name like MPG, you can't help but win.
That's right. You were born into this life.
I'm born to be this guy.
But yeah, tickets you know, are this, only. Yes, go ahead, sir. Sorry.
Real quick, the event on Saturday, I did this before for another charity back in September, like I said, and I don't know if you guys know, but I won. But,
hey, you mentioned that.
Oh, yeah, did I?
Yeah,
wow.
You just did.
I won. But there was a autograph signing session, which was really cool because they brought the fans down, and we stayed there for a good hour, and we signed autographs for everybody that came down. It was a chance for everybody to meet everybody and get to see the cars and their fans, and honestly, it's a fun event because you get up close and personal with all these people.
Again, tickets are only $30, and it's this Saturday, April 11th at 4:00 in the afternoon at Irwindale Speedway.
Watch
you can go
win.
To bmrnapa.com or buy tickets at the Irwindale Speedway box office in Irwindale. Now, when you say you sign those autographs, that's in person, not just calling the people on the phone and telling them about it, right?
Wow.
Let me describe my signature to you guys. It's pretty awesome.
Wow. I know. You know, that really goes against my winner attitude because winners come in the studio.
That's true.
I will make this up to you guys. I will always.
I like that somehow you come on our show and now you owe us.
That's good.
I don't know how that math works, but I'm happy with it.
I like it too.
Great?
You get a pass because you're Mark Paul Gosselaar. We love you, and you've been great to us in the past, and we always appreciate your time. And we hope you have a great time this weekend. Hope the pilot gets picked up. Let us know when it does, and good luck with the baby, sir. Thanks for coming on.
Well, you guys know that I'm going to come in and promote this pilot when
it gets
picked up. So.
Look forward to it.
All right, man. Thank you.
Don't forget Coachella starting up this weekend in the desert. We've got passes for you at 9:00 this morning, plus access to the K-Rock Coachella house, and you're qualified to drive home in a brand new car, a 2015 turbocharged Fiat Abarth. That'll be all the details at KRock.com, and we'll be doing that grand prize drawing Friday morning from the K-Rock Coachella house. Hope to see you out there. I am entering a new phase in my life, you guys. I am practically a daredevil at this point. I think you know that about me, is that I'm an adrenaline junkie, Kevin. Would you say that's accurate?
I would say that is 100% wrong. Like, there's no less adrenaline junkie than being on this planet.
I am this close to skydiving. That's how rapidly my adrenaline junkiness has increased recently. And I say that because of something that I did yesterday. I mean, I blew it out yesterday. I went to the Mariners game.
That's what you're known for, by the way.
Future World Series champion Seattle Mariners. I went to the Mariners game yesterday. And as you can imagine, opening day at ballparks all over the country are packed, are sellouts. So I live in a city, Seattle, with a downtown stadium where parking is kind of tight for an event like that because it's during a work day and you can't just park on the street because, you know, they have like 1 hour parking or something like that on the street. You can't park there and go to a ball game.
Right.
You have to try to get into a lot when you go to a game like that. Okay?
But don't they have parking lots?
They do have parking lots. They're the kind of parking lots that are like six levels high, though. And I always try to stay out of those if I can because you can imagine what they're like after a game. So I try to stay out of those and try to park in one of the lots that's on the street on the way toward the stadium.
Okay.
And those sell out fast. And I'm driving and driving and driving. I'm getting closer and closer to the stadium yesterday. And I see all these spaces on the street that you can't park at except for an hour. And I think, what if I was a wild man and parked there on purpose? The ticket would probably be cheaper than finding a parking lot at this point. I'm so close to the stadium. I'm getting to the point where parking is like $60 now to park.
So you're just thinking, I'll take the ticket because
this
will get me a place to park and I can get in to see the game.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
You're a crazy man.
Yeah,
what did I tell you?
How's your adrenaline at this
holy
point?
Holy crap.
Oh, I am so jacked up at this point with the prospect. I mean, I feel like a guy who's out in front of the, you know, out in front of the bank with the, you know, with the with a gun in my lap and a stocking over my face, and I'm just getting ready for my moment to dash through the door and run, and take that place down.
That's the same. Those two things are the same. That's true.
And then the people that I'm with my wife and a couple of friends, they're like, I'm not sure that they just give you a ticket. I think they might tow on a day like today to keep these streets clear.
But that ups the ante for you. You're like, tow, yeah, tow me, yeah.
Do it. Dare you.
You tow me.
And then I start thinking, I don't know that it's worth it if I get towed, because I'm a hero if I park and I just get the ticket.
Okay, hold right there. You use the word hero. What did you mean? Yeah.
What does hero mean to you?
You're
in
a
this
hero
instance?
If you because park I, and get I, a parking ticket?
Right, because
that's
I've
your
gamed,
definition of a hero?
No, because at this point I will have gamed the system, because I will have done something so outside the box and made it work for me, because I would have found actually cheaper parking than the people who parked legally in the parking lots ahead.
How many
They're
times
paying have... 60 bucks to park. I'm parking on the street 25 feet away for 40 bucks. I feel like I'm a big winner at that point.
How many times have I done something like this and Bean has come at me like, oh, so you're better than everybody else? You don't have to follow the rules? He says that to me all the time.
Right.
So, Bean, you're better than everybody else?
I wasn't parking in a handicap spot.
No.
I was parking in a parking space on the street, okay? But my question is it still worth it if I get towed? Now I've got to think about that. And I got to say no, right? You don't want to come out of the game.
You're not an adrenaline junkie then.
And then have the car be gone.
Fail.
Yeah, you're thinking about it too much.
Yeah.
That adrenaline just went.
It did. With
all right,
everything else.
I want to hear from you guys. What about you guys? If you were in my situation, parking's almost impossible to find. Would you have taken that chance and parked on the street and expected a ticket?
I feel like it should say that it's a tow zone in order for them to tow, no?
I didn't see a sign that said tow zone, but that's what one of the persons in my party suggested might
but
happen.
Why are you listening to them? They don't know your adrenaline
that's
needs.
Right. You're living on the edge,
right?
Man. You don't listen to anyone.
No.
I would park there in a second.
Have you done that, Kevin?
Sure. And most of the time, they don't tow you. Most of the time, the towing places, you get back to your car in time, and they don't get you towed. So.
I've done it, and I've put in quarters for the hour just to be like, I tried, then I got too caught up.
But
that
they can't
way, in
tell
my
that
head,
if they
not...
come by over an hour later.
No,
if
but
the
in my
expired.
Head, I feel better about it.
All right,
it.
But wait, Bean, you're the cheapest man alive. Mm. So is it possible that you went back out at 59 minutes and put in more money? He would do
I did
that.
Not do that. What? I did not leave the game.
You're a crazy man.
But what do you guys think happened when I left the game? Mariners won, by the way. That I left the game and walked back to where my car was. What do you guys think happened?
I think your butt was so clenched for that walk back, thinking my car might not be there, and then this was all for naught. But I think you got to your car, and there was a ticket, and you're like, I'm good.
I think you got to your car, and there wasn't a ticket.
So you think it was just a complete and total domination by the Bean Man,
wow.
is what you're saying.
Wow.
the Bean Man ruled the city. That's right. Bean Man shut them down.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Bean Dog shut them down.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bean Dog shut them down.
Yes!
I've never felt more alive in my life
than
when I walked out of the car and I said, holy, are you kidding me? Free parking a block from the stadium. I win so hard.
You are doing that every game now, right?
It was practically, and I don't want hyperbole here. I don't want to oversell this.
No,
I think
no.
It was the greatest day of my life.
Well, that sucks for Donna. But
yes. Every day sucks for Donna.
That says a lot about your previous day. Everybody's tweeting that perhaps somebody drunk pulled the ticket off Bean's car and that he's going to have a warrant for his arrest. And that's
don't say that. Don't
awesome.
Make this, don't turn my triumph into a nightmare.
Come on,
let me enjoy this.
I hope you got a ticket, and I hope somebody did the right thing and took it off your car. That would be so great.
I bet you've done that too, by the way,
you
Kevin.
Adrenaline
I bet you've been
junkie,
that
you? How dare you?
So you're saying I get what I deserve if that
I'm
happens.
Saying that would be awesome.
Hey, what about Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday morning Kevin Amin Show? Good morning, Ralph.
It's hard to be a hero, Kevin. You don't know.
That's right, man.
You know what it's like to be a hero in the city.
Thug life, man,
called
right
himself
here.
A hero.
Yeah, he's like Batman.
I'm the hero.
Yeah, he's like Daredevil. He's out there
keep the city safe.
I own this town.
By illegally parking.
It was legal. It was legal parking for the first hour. Then after that, it was illegal.
So you're that's even less of an accomplishment.
How does that make you a hero by any stretch of the imagination, under any definition?
In Beans,
regardless of the parking.
In Beans,
here's Ralph with the showbiz beans.
Show me the heroism part, though. That's what I need to see. I'm seeing the douchebaggery. I just don't see the heroism.
The heroism part is that I fought the law and I won. That's what's going on here.
Mm. Bean dog rules. That's all I know.
That's right, man.
I'm telling you, Bean is really starting to become a rebel. First, he wants to show his junk off out his window to people who are passing by. And now he just wants to park wherever the hell he wants. He's becoming a bit of a hippie. I think next thing is going to be living in a van outside a fish concert selling falafel.
That would be awesome.
And fetish bags full of magic. That's what Bean's life's going to be. Bean in his pigtails and his Huarache sandals and his just cut-off cargo shorts.
He already has the look going.
I know. He's great.
He's halfway there.
He's going to hippie town. Hope you all hop in the microbus and follow him down.
That's awesome.
Bean doesn't live by your rules, society.
No, he doesn't need your rules. That's right, man. He does what he wants.
He's an outsider looking in. Hey, this Octavia Spencer, she's a bitch.
Is she?
What?
Yeah.
She's such a great actress.
Well,
that's all I
tell that to the children she made cry.
Really?
Yes. She's trying to break into children's publishing with a book called Randy Rhodes Ninja Detective.
Okay.
And so she had an event to promote the book, and by all accounts was just made everyone's life a living hell.
Oh, no.
She complained about her aching feet when she got there. She kept rolling her eyes during a question and answer session. She refused to make small talk or take photos with any of the fans and their kids. Some folks demanded refunds, were walking out with their kids, and calling the Oscar winner some choice names. Octavia also, according to staff members, complained about the glass of water she was served.
Okay, that didn't happen. I was trying to think in my mind, all right, everybody has a bad day. Maybe she was sick. Maybe she felt bad.
With this water?
And what was the issue? Just it wasn't bottled?
They didn't say what the exact problem was with the water, enough? But the water was not to her liking.
Wow.
So many of the kids who had rolled in trying to take photos and get autographs with her were disappointed when she refused to meet with any of them. Octavia Spencer later called herself a hero.
Is that right?
Yeah, which I thought was strange. Maybe she, too, doesn't quite understand the definition. But.
I do like that she's bringing back the memory, though, of Randy Rhodes, because... Great guitarist.
Not the same.
Different guy.
R-A-N-D-I, Randy Rhodes. She's a female little girl ninja detective. But
sorry, I apologize.
Again, I
Allie, I hate to do this to you again. We all thought the same joke and then didn't
no
say it.
No one did it? No?
No one else said it.
Oh, that was out loud.
I appreciate you once again reaching back into
to the Ozzy Osbourne band of the 70s.
The annals of classic rock. For a joke that no one really gets.
You're welcome.
Hey, Dancing with the Stars. Contestants had to pick their most memorable year. A song from their most memorable year to focus on while dancing.
Okay.
As you can imagine, Suzanne Summers, she danced a foxtrot to the Three's Company theme.
Oh.
Sorry, I missed that.
Yeah.
Robert Herjavec from Shark Tank, he danced to a song that came from the year his mother fought cancer. Good times.
Okay.
Willow Shields did a Hunger Games themes dance because she's only been alive for 3 years.
True.
And Noah Galloway, the veteran who's dancing sans leg and arm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He used a song from that year describing losing his arm and his leg. Yeah. And when all said and done, Michael Sam was the one who was voted off. He, of course, the openly gay football player. He was voted off by all said and done. But I was most impressed by the new footage that has come out of Noah Galloway rehearsing.
Yes.
Where he gets kicked in the face by his partner. Have you seen this footage yet?
I have not. You
should check it out. He gets kicked in the face during rehearsal and then spits out a tooth.
Oh, my God.
It just keeps going.
Just like, all right, what's next?
I lost an arm and a leg. You think a tooth bothers me? He screams in the girl's face and then headbutts her. No, he didn't really do that, but that's how tough this guy is. His partner, Sharna Burgess, accidentally kicks him in the face.
She must have felt terrible.
Knocks a tooth out. She must have felt awful. Bad enough, this guy's deficient in the arm and leg department to the tune of one each. Then she's going to start pulling out his pearly whites. Come on now. Give the guy a break.
He calls himself a hero, too.
Well, he actually
is a hero, though. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Hey, speaking of losing teeth, and I know we've had this discussion many times, and I think we've come to the conclusion that hockey players are the toughest athletes, right?
Yes,
by far.
Did you guys see that player on the Blues the other night?
Yep. Pulled his own tooth out, handed it to the trainer.
Out. We'll see there. Yep.
Went right back in.
Yep.
That's what they
Unbelievable.
Do. That's what they do.
Hockey didn't even talk to a trainer or anything. Just sat there, pulled his tooth out, went back in the game.
Hockey players are a different breed of human being.
As is our vets a lot of times. This guy in Dancing with the Stars is just like, lost tooth. All right.
I think.
Let's keep going.
Yeah, vets probably trump hockey players. But my point is in sports, I think hockey players are ridiculous with what they will. Their pain threshold and with what they will play with. Like the guy who got cut open on his stomach with the blade of a skate, and then just got stitched back up, and then just went back out there.
You got like 20 stitches in your next shift.
I mean, there's
shift.
A million stories like that where guys are constantly just getting medevaced back onto the ice after some mashed surgery treatment in the back room. It's crazy.
And the average person who sustained an injury like that with 20 stitches would probably take the rest of the week off from work.
If you cut me open with a sharp-edged hockey skate, I'm going to sit down for a while. That's the news. You want the weather? I don't even know what that means. Today's celebrity birthdays, Francis Ford Coppola. He's 76 years old today. This guy directed a little movie called The Godfather. And then he did Godfather 2.
Yeah.
How about a movie called Apocalypse Mother Effin' Now,
that's enough
by
for
the way.
A lifetime.
How about that?
Let alone that movie and everything else he did. Including Tucker and Man of Dream. I love that movie. 76 years old today. Jackie Chan is 61 years old. Russell Crowe turns 51. And my buddy Jennifer Schwalbeck, married to my good friend Mr. Kevin Smith. She celebrates her 44th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
About 50 minutes from now, we're going to start giving away tickets to Coachella. We do it every hour between 9 and 5. 3-day passes.
Pretty sweet deal.
Pretty excited about that.
Are you disappointed Brian Wilson is not playing Coachella this weekend, Kevin? Are you good with that?
I'm good. I don't know. Let's hear his new stuff, maybe.
Is the leader of a band called the Beach Boys that I believe is the most successful American rock band of all time. I think they sold more records than any American rock band in history. So he's got his legacy is assured. But he's 72 years old, and he keeps making new albums. And a lot of people maybe don't have time or need for a new Brian Wilson record, but he has one coming out today. It's available everywhere in stores and for download, called No Peer Pressure. And he's got a lot of guest stars, Kevin, that younger people that you might be interested in. For instance, Zooey Deschanel sings on the album. Mm-hmm. Casey Musgraves is on the album. Nate from Fun. Cebu from Capital City. So he's still in touch with the younger generation. But a Brian Wilson song sounds like a Brian Wilson song. And here's a couple of clips, and then we'll tell you why we are playing these for you. A couple of clips from the new Brian Wilson. Do we need it?
That's not very Brian Wilson-y to me. I think more harmonies, but
I don't hate it, but I don't need it. I don't need it.
You don't need it. All right.
No.
How about this one? This one's called Our Special Love.
Special love can be found anywhere in the world except for here. That's where you are. What I'm thinking of can be found anywhere in the world except for here.
Do you think the problem is with a lot of these legacy artists that you have so much to compare it to that it does not make the new stuff reflect? Like if this was an unknown artist, you would hear that and go, that guy's talented. He's pleasant.
But you know
compare
what?
If this Surfing USA and you go, wow, this guy has lost it.
Yeah, I can see that. But if this is a new artist, you don't hear this. It's not good enough.
Yeah, maybe so.
It's not good enough to cut through without his history. I don't think.
Yeah. All right. Do we have Mr. Wilson on the phone?
We do.
Hello, hey, Brian. Welcome back, buddy.
Hey, Kevin V, how are you guys doing?
We're good. Congratulations on the new album.
That's so funny. Did I tell a joke or something?
No, we're just having fun. Brian, we're just happy to hear your voice, happy to talk to you, sir.
I'm happy to hear your voice, too. Hope you guys are having a good time.
We're having a good time, yes.
So, Brian, what were your thoughts? Like, why does a 72-year-old like you, who certainly doesn't need to work, what drives you to go back in the studio, write new songs, produce new music?
I've got a lot of music still inside me, and there's a lot of things I want to with my music, and there's a lot of things that I think about with my music.
Right.
And so I love being in the studio, I love making the music, I love working with other musicians, And it's just, it was just great working on this album with all these people. And by the way, the name of the album, I heard you talk about it, it's No Peer Pressure, but it's P-I-E-R.
Like a beach.
Right, because of pier at the beach, right?
Yeah, it's like pier.
Right.
Like a beach.
Gotcha.
Right.
How's
your beach voice?
What?
Right, beach voice, right.
Yes, we got that. How is your health? You had some rather public problems with your brain back in the 1970s. Have you recovered pretty well?
Well, it's better than ever, really. I think you can tell that. It's just better than ever. I'm sharp as a tap.
That's what I've heard.
I like to say.
So this new album has, I think, the deluxe version has 18 songs on it. So you've been fairly prolific.
Bunch of songs on the deluxe version. I have so many new songs I couldn't even put them on the album the way I wanted to.
Right? Are you going to put on another album?
I might have to because I got a bunch of songs. That really, I'm just dying for people to hear. They're just, I think some are even better than the ones that are made on the CD.
Could you play one for us now? Or is
here's a new awesome. One I've been working on. It's great. I think it's called Crabs.
Crabs.
I'm on the beach. Hey, look, a crab.
Wait a minute.
That's not a song.
That's not a song. That's
it is. That came to me when I was on the beach.
I'm on the beach.
But that's just you see a crab.
Right. That's why it's called Crab. The song is Crab.
What? Do you have another?
Yeah, sure.
New one because that.
I walk along the beach. Ow! I stepped on a syringe. Ow!
Again.
That song's called Syringes.
Okay, but that's really just more of an observation than it is a song.
Well, my songs are observations of life.
Mostly I see.
Life at the beach. I saw life at the beach.
Right.
It's unfortunate that one didn't make the album.
This one's one of my favorites. Swimming in the ocean. Staying by the shore. Ow, jellyfish! Pee on me! Somebody pee on me! Jellyfish! Oh, jellyfish, it stinks so bad. Jellyfish stink me so bad. Ow, ow, ow. I hope that'll be on the next album.
That's the hit.
Oh, Dave.
You're cute.
Why?
What are you
doing?
I know
I'm cute, but why?
What are you doing?
What do you mean? Dave came in the other day, very excited about a new acquisition of his. He got an autographed basketball. Now, Dave, I know you're a huge basketball fan, and in particular, a huge fan of your Los Angeles Clippers.
Correct.
But you got an autograph from a player that I've never heard of. And you seemed really excited about that.
Let me just jump in and say, former Clipper player.
Former Clipper
like, not player. Not even on the team now. Tell us how that happened. And why?
The Clippers have a silent auction at every home game.
Okay.
So
is it for a charity?
For the Clippers charity.
All right, good.
And, you know, there was a signed NBA basketball.
Right.
By former Clipper and former UCLA Bruin, Ryan Hollins.
One of the greats. Wait, I'm
just
sorry, who?
Just you clapping, just you.
Ryan Hollins?
Where's Ryan now, Dave?
Ryan is sitting on the pine behind Boogie Cousins at Sacramento.
Okay, so he's still a professional
basketball
player.
Yeah.
He's still in the league.
But barely.
Barely, yeah, in Sacramento.
Now, why did you bid on this item?
Because I've always wanted a basketball,
NBA
basketball. And Ryan Hollins was the best option. You know, I'm not going to pay, $400 for a Chris Paul one. Why? You know, just so I can have Chris Paul's Gribbley, signature on a basketball when I could have Ryan Hollins.
And that was 45 cents, right?
Sure, it was $50, but
You could scratch off the autograph, and now you have an NBA
ball.
They
have a Clipper ball. Yeah, there you go.
This is interesting. When Dave came in and told us about this, we started talking off the air about autographs and what a bizarre collectible they are or aren't. I don't know how many people collect autographs anymore. It seems like selfies are what people want from celebrities now. But what do you do with an autograph? Like, where will that basketball go in your home, Dave?
That basketball is proudly displayed on a shelf in my apartment.
Mm-hmm. And how do you think that'll age? Like, in a year, will you still be excited about Mr. Holland's
autograph?
Hell
yeah, dude. It's a game basketball.
Right, but not...
So it's the basketball.
It's
the
basketball that I'm stoked about, yeah. So just it just so happens to have a Ryan Hollins, which looks like a little squiggly line. It,
so you just say it's Chris Paul.
I can. Yeah.
Good idea, yeah.
Blake Griffin or whoever you want, just say it's whoever.
Yeah, DeAndre Jordan. There it is. It's number six.
Look, not to take anything away from Ryan, because anyone who makes it to the level of, you know, in a professional sport that he has deserves a lot of credit. But most people don't know who he is. And we thought it might be fun to hear from Kevin and Bean listeners about the most obscure celebrity or smallest celebrity, least well-known celebrity that you have an autograph from. We want to hear the story about how you got it and how excited you are about it now. And what do you do with it? That's the thing about autographs. Is like Allie, you've gotten a few over the years, right? What do you do with an autograph?
I had a little book as a kid.
Right.
And my parents had season tickets to the Kings way back when you couldn't pay people to go to those games. And I remember one night they had a little event before the game. You can meet the players, sit with them. So right. I got Mario Lessard's autograph. Look him up. He was a goalie for a minute. But then later that game, Ricky Schroeder and Alfonso Ribeiro sat behind us. That was a huge get.
That's pretty strong.
Right? Silver Spoons days, heyday.
That's pretty strong. Mm-hmm. Now, what did you do with it?
No idea.
Okay.
Yeah, had a little book, no idea where that is.
Okay, if you found it today, would you be excited or just not care?
I'd go, wow, you were a creepy kid. Yeah.
How old were you at the time?
Oh, gosh, probably 6 or 7.
Yeah, now I can imagine if you're... Even older than that, I mean, if you're 12, 13 and you get to meet your favorite singer, for instance, or your favorite athlete, I imagine that's the biggest day of your life. I mean, I imagine that's huge and that's something you cherish. But I just feel like most autographs don't age very well. I guess that's my thing.
So we're looking for the least famous person that you have an autograph from. And by the way, it can go either way. You can not care anymore or you can still be proud of it. Either way, right. Just the least famous person.
Hey, I still dig my Kenny Landreau autographed baseball from the Dodgers.
Yeah?
Yeah, because he was an outfielder like way back in the 80s. And,
you have the worst collection of memorabilia ever.
I still dig it, though.
I always wonder.
It was my first baseball that I got in the outfield, you know? So okay. It means something.
All right.
When you'll hear... This is just an example. I don't know if this is a thing, but, you know, come meet the Price is Right models or something like that, and you see them signing autographs. I always think, how far after the guy walks out of the convention hall with the Price is Right model signature does he realize that it's actually worth less than if the paper were still blank?
Well, you know, Bean, it's funny you say that because I do have, like, a signed photo from the Clipper Spirit from a golf tournament years ago.
That's the dance crew.
Yeah, dance crew. So that's from, like, I'll tell you, like, 5 years ago.
Okay.
I got it at a golf tournament. I feel bad throwing it away because they were there signing it. So it's somewhere in my drawers somewhere.
Right. So you just got to keep it forever until all of that team dies, and then you can throw it away
and
they won't feel bad.
They're not even there anymore because the teams change over every year.
Right.
But I feel bad throwing it out.
But they're not – unless you throw it out in their trash, in their house, they're not going to know.
I know. I just
feel
bad.
Let's take one call before the break. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're looking for the least famous person that you have an autograph from, and what's the story behind it. Let's go with Matt, who I think is kind of blowing this thing up from Azusa on line one, because the first person he names is a pretty legitimate celebrity, I think.
All right. Matt, hi.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Allie McKay, how are you?
I'm doing great, Matt. Thank you.
Awesome. Now listen, guys, my mother was on a flight from Ohio, from Toledo, back home here to L.A., and she must have pestered poor Rick Springfield for 2.5 hours to sign a friggin' cocktail napkin.
Oh, no.
Just for my son. He would love it. I don't give a damn about Rick Springfield.
Why? Was she just using you as a cover to get it, to talk to him?
Yeah.
My son, Matt, will love it.
She also bothered Michael Landon for 2 hours back when Santa's Village was open in the early 80s just to say hi to us. And we were infants.
Whatever happened to your Rick Springfield, the singer of Jesse's Girls, autograph?
It's on a cocktail napkin. It's up on my wet bar. But still, yeah.
You still have it, though. How about that?
All right, happy ending. I like it.
All right. Thank you very much.
I love that his mom used it as a lie.
Back in the day, though, I'd pester him all day on a plane.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be looking for his autograph.
No.
Right. 1-800-520-1067. The least famous celebrity you got an autograph from. We want to hear your story next on K-Rock.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Hey, man, you don't know. There could be somebody on the phone right now with a Stephen Jenkins from Third Eye Blind autograph, man. You don't know.
We just played Third Eye Blind.
1-800-520-1067. We're talking about obscure celebrity autographs that you have. Dave, for folks just joining us, who's the one that you acquired over the past week or so?
Ryan Hollins, a former Clipper.
Everybody knows Ryan Hollins' name.
Yeah, he's now a Sacramento King.
Okay. Clipper.
And on the bench. So, yeah.
So that's what we were talking about with Dave, and now we want to hear who you've gotten and why and how. And let's start with David in Diamond Bar. He's up first. He's on line 5.
All right. Hi, David.
How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
I have a former American Gladiator Zap.
Oh, Zap. Sweet.
And, I no longer have the autograph, but I do have the Polaroid picture of me getting the autograph. And
what do you suppose you were thinking at the time you got Zap's autograph?
I was watching American Gladiators live.
And that's Zap.
And Zap came up to me and wanted to give me her autograph.
Okay.
Wait, she walked up and offered it?
No, I probably begged
for it. Yeah, I was going to say, it's a little sad.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jennifer Norco, line 6. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's the autograph?
I got all the original cast members from the Power Rangers.
Yeah.
That's kind of good.
I feel like you could sell that on eBay today. I think people would be interested in that.
Do you still have it?
I do still have it in my childhood box somewhere.
Just stashed away.
That's Amy Jo Johnson, right? The Pink Ranger?
Yeah.
Yeah. Felicity's Amy Jo Johnson.
Take it easy.
Dude, wow, I'm down Dave. With this one.
Dave will buy that from you, Jennifer.
So what do you think about the autograph now? Why haven't you thrown it away? Clearly you don't look at it or use it anymore. Why do you think you hang on to it?
I think I forgot about it. You know, it's in my childhood box with all my secret little girl stuff and just moved it from house to house and it's
I love
still
it.
There.
All right.
I love that you still have it. All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Wow. We got some good ones here, you guys. Let's go to Jonathan. He's in Baldwin Park. He's on line 1. He's up next.
Hey, Jonathan.
Good morning. Good morning, Kevin and Bean. Good morning, Allie.
Good morning.
Who'd you get?
I have the autograph of Kid and Play from House Party 1.
Yes! Kid and Play's pretty strong.
I dig it.
I mean, I think I would still like... Do you still have it?
I don't know where it is, but they were actually filming the movie in front of my house, and I had it on a piece of paper, and I got it cited pencil.
Jonathan, I'll buy it off you if you still have it.
What are you going to do with a Kid and Play autograph,
dude.
Dave?
Dave's going to open a museum of
They played the halftime of the Clippers game this year, and they were awesome.
Really?
Yes. And they just recently played One Oak in Vegas.
I got to
say,
I
would go watch them right now in concert.
I wish you would.
I hate to take Dave's side on that one, so I'm not going to. But I sort of feel like I would like.
Jonathan, what do you figure? You up for selling your Kid and Play autograph?
Sure. I'll trade him for a concert ticket.
No, but if you, dude, if you find it, email me and I'll buy it off you.
Or if you just write it on a piece of paper and pretend
there you go. That's the answer.
Actually,
then Dave will pay you for it.
Thank you for the call, sir. Here's a couple from the Kevin Media Facebook page. Scott writes in, I met Michael Winslow when I was a kid. The Police Academy movies were hot at the time, and it was like meeting a Beatle. And yes, he did sound effects. Kathy writes in, I have a signed Ralph Garman 8x10 picture on my wall. All right. Fantastic.
Yeah, we know. Yeah, okay.
we're not surprised to hear that, right? Yeah. Does anyone have beer mugs autograph? If so, they win, says this listener.
That's true.
A good point. That would be all right. Who do you like that's next?
I like Brad.
Let's talk to Brad.
I think Brad's going to bring it home. Hey, Brad.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Good. Least famous person you got an autograph from?
I didn't even know this guy was famous.
Wait. You didn't know he was famous. Why did you get his autograph?
He actually came up to me. He said, I was at a gifting suite, one of those things behind, you know, the Grammys or whatever.
Right.
And this guy comes up, and we already met, you know, Neil Patrick Harris and Ringo and a bunch of really famous people, and this guy comes up. And he's like, hey, you want a picture? And I'm like, yeah, sure.
And you had no idea who it was at that point?
I didn't. Somebody tapped me in the booth and goes, hey, that's Cato Kaelin. And I'm like,
dude.
I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, no, that's Cato Kaelin. And he goes, hey, you want my autograph? I'm like, yeah, sure, man.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be a dick to go, no. You just take it and throw it away. Did you throw it away?
Yeah, I think I lost like 3 minutes after you walked out of my booth. So.
Yeah.
He has it.
He still has it, doesn't he?
Yeah. It's hanging up above my Ralph.
Well done.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Dude, you may finally achieve the altitude that you've been trying to get off this boat.
What?
I'm like, what?
I was thinking, I didn't say that.
What?
I was thinking
just fell off his chair.
That was A Moment with Bean.
We were at April Foolishness, and a guy came up to me and said, that thing about altitude in the boat, that was the best thing I've ever heard.
It is the greatest thing that's ever happened to anyone ever in life, even including Jesus.
To win this year, I've never won. I've never been number one on the Moment With list, but I think I'm certainly in contention this year, right?
I would say,
good luck with that.
Get your acceptance speech ready.
That's right.
That's all
really,
I would say.
Even though Kevin is here and we still have 6 months to go?
Kevin, you make Kevin look like a rookie. You make him look like he's still playing college Moment With. And you're all pro, son. You are MVP caliber.
I like it.
Hey, for Dodgers fans who are bummed out and were reminded once again yesterday as opening day happened and they couldn't see the goddamn game because they don't have Time Warner, we're going to talk to a writer from LA Weekly who has a very doable, reasonable solution on how you can watch every Dodger game, home and away. So we'll talk to him coming up next. That's good information to stick around for. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Tuesday. What's happening?
Is it join the team?
No, not join the team.
That's the first thing that came to me.
No.
So maybe become a player yourself and join the
team. That would be one approach, I guess.
You could see every game that way.
Yeah, but I don't see that as workable
for most people.
Maybe not for you. That's right. I've seen you pitch, but you don't know about my arm. Let's talk about show business news. Arnold Schwarzenegger, our governor, formerly. Man who loves California, loves the state and what it has to offer.
Sure.
Wants to protect it.
Sure.
Big environmentalist, Arnold Schwarzenegger. You can always tell because he's driving around in his Hummer.
Yeah.
That's how you know
That is how you know.
Loves California. Has a new vehicle. Has a new ride. Anybody want to guess what he's driving these days?
Well, I mean, I have seen several photos of tanks.
He does own a tank, you're right.
Yeah.
But that's not the latest.
It isn't the
latest ride. He's got a brand new one this week.
I'm going to guess, and I don't have any information on this one, but he's gone the other way and is going with one of the new Teslas.
Nope.
Smart car.
Nope.
Wouldn't that be funny?
He's got
Schwarzenegger in a smart car.
That'd be awesome. He just carries it under his arm when he goes into the shop and stuff. No. And this is not a joke.
Not an email.
But he has a new Bugatti. That's what he's driving these days.
What?
Yes. Driving a new Bugatti convertible. It is a silver, flashy silver number with a brown interior, a convertible top.
Those are pretty tiny, too, aren't they?
They're not big.
Large.
None of those.
Although Arnold is not. Cars. He's also not as big as you would think
he is. He's not as tall as you'd think
right,
he is.
Right.
Exactly. But he's pretty big.
Yeah.
What do you think the price tag was on his new Bugatti?
I don't know the cost of any of these. $150,000?
Yeah, close.
Yeah.
$2 million.
So when you say close, you were mocking me.
Yes.
All right.
It was a $2 million purchase.
$2 million.
Wow. Yeah. I don't have a punchline for this or anything. It's an actual Bugatti story.
Nope. A guy like Schwarzenegger, though,
but he did.
He literally woke up.
Yeah. Sorry. He has weeks though where he makes $2 million, right? So it's not a huge purchase for a guy like him, right?
Yeah, sure. Look, he couldn't spend all the money he's made, I think, in terms of his business ventures and his acting career and everything else. I think he's set. He could spend $2 million on a car and not feel it too bad.
Not think about it.
Plus, didn't he steal most of the money from California?
Yes, he did take most of our money with him when he left. That helped his financial situation, I think. Speaking of burning through money, there's still hope. I still deep inside hold on to the promise that maybe one day Floyd Mayweather will be broke.
Look, anyone can spend any amount. I mean, you can waste.
I firmly believe, as rich as he is, I like to hold
on
to the hope.
Mike Tyson did it, right?
He could just spend himself poor. And it's stories like these that fuel that hope. He has got a new set of custom-made mouthpieces, boxing mouthpieces, from a Manhattan dentist that feature gold flakes, diamonds, and actual $100 bills inside the mouthpieces. So when he goes into the ring, he's got those mouthpieces.
He wears it in a fight?
Yeah. The guy flies out to Vegas to custom fit the mouthpieces, and each one costs $25,000.
That's a good use of $100 bills, though, is just to use it as stuffing.
To embed them in plastic and make mouthpieces out of them.
The mouthpiece I had when I played football is just the plastic, and you just heat
right,
it up.
Right, heat it up, and it's you like, stick it in your mouth, and you bite down, yeah, and boom, you got
like,
it.
It's like 2 cents.
Right. This is a $25,000 each.
Wow.
And he's got a whole bunch of them filled with different jewels and money and gold flakes.
By the way, Mayweather could gamble it away. That's how he could lose a lot of it.
We should get him on Beer Mug's plan. We should get him on the 97% plan. See how quickly he goes through it. More talk of money and celebritydom. Jessica Simpson's clothing line just hit a major milestone. $1 billion in annual sales.
Wow. This whole thing has been baffling to me. Like, how did she ever get a line?
She first launched it 10 years ago.
And who bought it and why? Is it good clothing?
I have no idea. I know nothing of her clothing.
I don't get it.
Her line has survived when a lot of other celebrity clothing brands have fallen by the wayside, but it's just gained steam and gained steam, and now it is one of the best-selling clothing lines in the world, and she just achieved a $1 billion annual sale mark. So
that's
in the course
insane.
Of a year, $1 billion in sales. And that's not her, obviously, what she gets out of it. I think she sold off 50% of her stock already, so she only holds 50%, and then she gets dividends and things like that.
So
obviously,
she's only got $500 million
I don't know what she's making. Obviously, it's an enormous amount of money, but still, $1 billion in sales, pretty crazy.
I need to start a clothing line.
That's what I'm saying. Let's start the Kevin and Bean clothing line.
I like it.
A series of odd t-shirts and cargo shorts. Just mix and match.
Or not match.
Or not match at all.
However it works.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Jennifer Schwalbach, my buddy, married to Kevin Smith, of course, very talented, lovely lady in her own right, 44 years old today. Russell Crowe's 51. Jackie Chan, he's 61 years old. And director Harrison Ford Coppola.
Wow.
Nah, he would be a great director.
He would be.
What? I don't understand what I'm supposed to do, Harrison. Francis Ford Coppola is 76 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
So these are the words that were said yesterday.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
And if you were a Dodger fan who doesn't have Time Warner Cable, you realize you're in the second season of not being able to watch your team on TV. What are we going to do about it, Kevin?
Well, it sure seems it's odd to me in that this seems to be, it happened with The Walking Dead. Remember when they put the big words on the screen and everything? Call your cable company.
Call your cable provider. You're going to lose the show. Happened with the Lakers, of course, famously a couple of years ago as well.
But they always get it resolved relatively quickly. 3-4 months is usually about as long as it goes. This is crazy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, we're into the second season of it already. So we wanted to find out about more about this story. And we found a guy who sounds like he knows what he's talking about. His name is Gene Mattis, and he joins us on the Kevin Beach Show. He's a reporter for LA Weekly. Hi, Gene. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Appreciate you coming on. How about a brief backstory, if you would, for us about how this Dodger deal came to pass with Time Warner? Like, why did they do this in the first place?
Okay, so Guggenheim Partners bought the Dodgers a few years ago for, remember, it was like $2.1 billion, right?
Right.
It was a ridiculously large amount of money, and everyone was saying, that's way too much money. And they said, just wait, you'll see. And they ended up finding Time Warner Cable and getting Time Warner Cable to do this $8.5 billion deal for the TV rights. It was like, oh, okay, now it makes sense.
So that way, now they have money to buy whatever players they need.
Right, and the idea on Time Warner Cable's side was, okay, we'll pay this ridiculous amount of money for the TV rights, but then we'll be able to make good on it by selling it to all the other providers, DirecTV and Cox and all these other cable companies.
How's that working out?
Well, they basically said, we're not paying for it. We're not, you know, they're asking too much, and we're not going to pay for it because we have to pass the cost on to our customers, and we think it's overpriced. And so Time Warner is sort of in a bind where they've paid, you know, they've agreed to pay all of this money for the Dodger rights, and they can't resell them at a price that would make them turn a profit on this. So
the Dodgers look like winners in this deal. Time Warner looks like a big loser unless they have enough baseball fans who stop dropping some of the competition, the DirecTVs and the Coxes, just to get Time Warner, and that's not happening, right?
Well, Time Warner, I mean, there was a story in the New York Post a week or two ago about Time Warner having to take a $1 billion write-down on this deal because they're not able to get the price that they thought they'd get for it. The Dodgers are winners in a way, although it's not great if, you know, 70% of your audience can't see the games.
Right.
So they're not really making out
We've talked about that a lot too. We had Matt Money Smith on with us yesterday, who's with the Dodgers flagship station AM 570, and he was saying, you know, the ratings are just through the roof on the radio games, as you would imagine, because that's the only place most people can see them. And they've sold over 3 million tickets already for this year. But I gotta feel, and I think you're saying this too, Gene, that in the long run, you're not going to continue to grow that fan base if people don't get familiar with seeing your players on TV. That's how they become Dodgers fans, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a risk for the Dodgers that people just find something else to do with their time, you know. If they can't watch the Dodgers, then they go become, you know, fans of the Angels or, you know, something else, you know. And there's plenty of stuff that you can watch on TV if the Dodgers are not available. And so, you know, the diehard fans are going to find a way. They're going to become Time Warner subscribers or they're going to do something. But it's a lot of casual fans who have other options. They could go to the beach instead of watching a Dodger game.
Right. Now, before we talk about your ingenious solution that you put in your LA Weekly article, Gene, what's your guess on what is going to happen next on this? Or is just a stalemate and this is the new reality and this is how it's going to be forever?
Well, I think the key thing right now is there's a merger pending with Time Warner Cable. And if they are able to get that merger done.
Merger with who?
What is it? Was it Cox? I forget.
Okay, so one of the other big cable providers?
One of the other big cable providers. And so, once they, you know, if they can get that deal done, then they're going to have to really sort of take a hard look at how much this contract is actually worth. And at that point, then they, you know, under new ownership, they might agree to sell it to DirecTV for less than they're asking right now.
Yeah, I mean, at least they lose less. They lose less than they would now. They're not getting any of it back.
Right. I think they're sort of in a holding pattern waiting for this merger to happen. And then, you know, the new owners can figure out what they want to do with this. But,
right.
You know, until then, I don't think anything's going to happen.
That sucks.
And I can kind of understand why somebody like DirecTV would say, as you said, Gene, that, you know, they don't want to pay a bunch of money to get the Dodgers and then have to start charging extra for all those DirecTV subscribers who don't care about baseball. Now, all of a sudden, they're having to pay because somebody else wants to see baseball. I get why they don't want to put themselves in that situation, too.
And I think they kind of got screwed with the whole Lakers thing. Like, okay, fine, we give in, and now they're like, nope, not going to do it this time.
Yeah, there's around the country there have been all these teams that have been setting up their own channels and charging more and more for the
But only the biggest, right? Only the Yankees and...
Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah, so, you know, Nesson and all that. But, you know, I think at some point there was going to be a point where it became overpriced, and I think we've found that point.
Gotcha. This is the voice of Gene Mattis, reporter for LA Weekly, talking about his piece on the Los Angeles Dodgers that ran recently. All right, let's hear your simple solution for Dodgers fans out there who, for instance, could have seen yesterday's game instead of listening to it on the radio if they want to, and you got suggestions to help them for the whole rest of the season. What do we do?
Okay, so this is basically you're going to be streaming Dodger games through your computer.
Okay.
And there is a service out there now called MLB.TV. which is $130 for a season, and what that gives you is every out-of-market game streaming over your computer and then through your smart TV or your Roku or your whatever, Chromecast or whatever it is that you use to get streaming on your TV.
Is that every game in baseball or just Dodgers?
It's every game in baseball except L.A. teams, so the Angels and Dodgers.
Okay, so it's out-of-market.
It's every out-of-market game. Now, you can get the Angels and Dodgers 90 minutes after the game is over. You can watch the replay of the Dodgers and the Angels.
Yeah, not as good.
Blacked out live for
okay,
Dodgers
so,
and Angels.
All right, so now I've spent $130 and I still can't see the Dodgers.
Correct.
All right, what's next?
I think we're making progress, Gene.
Yeah, we need step two.
What's the next step?
Well, so the thing is, it's blacked out locally. So if you were sitting in Arizona or Colorado or some other state, you could watch the Dodgers games through MLB.TV, no problem, because it's not blacked out in those places.
Right.
So what you need is some kind of service that will basically pretend that you were in Arizona or some other place, right?
What, does it give you like a different IP address or something?
Exactly. So it'll disguise your IP address and it'll appear that you are in a place where the Dodgers are not blacked out. And now you will be able to watch the Dodger games live.
How much
and
is
what's that
going
to cost me? Yeah, on top of the $130
well, the
I'm already paying for MLB TV.
The one I highlighted was Unblock US, which I guess it actually started in Canada to give Canadians access to the US version of Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
The Canadian version of Netflix, apparently they get stuff later. And so there's a bunch of Canadians who want the US version of Netflix. So they'll use this service to pretend to be in the US. But it works for lots of different sports stuff, too. And that one costs $5 a month. There are other ones that are free. You know, after I posted this, some people referred me to this one called Ola, I think it's pronounced, H-O-L-A. So, and they said that's a free one. I prefer to, you know, if I'm getting a service, I prefer to pay for it, and that way I know it'll probably work. You know, there are a bunch of, like, random streaming, you know, free websites that you can just watch whatever, but, you know, you get a bunch of ads, or maybe it doesn't work, or whatever. I feel like
not quite as reliable, right.
This is going to actually work.
Okay. So MLB.tv to get out-of-market games, and then you fool them into thinking you're out-of-market, then you get to watch Dodgers or Angels or any other Major League Baseball game if you want to use something like Unblock-Us. I mean, it's still – look, nobody wants to pay $200 extra to see baseball on TV. But if you love the Dodgers and it's for the whole season, maybe a fair amount of people would pony up for that.
Well, the other thing is, like, you know, people are paying $200 a month for cable, right? So, you know, maybe you don't need cable, and this is like $25 a month, you know, and you get Netflix, and you can be a cord cutter, and you can watch your Dodger games and watch, you know, other stuff and save a bunch of money if you're paying a lot for cable now.
There you go. All right, Gene Mattis, reporter for LA Weekly. Great stuff, man. Keep us posted on what happens with us. We really appreciate your time today.
Oh, thank you.
Sorry, Emperor Penguin. Sorry, Master of the Moments. I didn't know we'd have to live up to your level of expertise.
It's not just me. I think we agreed
on it.
It's you.
Oh,
how dare you. Hey, real quick before the showbiz beat.
Sure,
we were talking last hour about obscure celebrity autographs, Ralph, and you weren't on the conversation with that. Dave just got a clipper no one's heard of at Autograph Basketball. We had listeners calling with ex-clippers. Sorry. Yeah. Had listeners calling in with you know, Power Rangers autographs and stuff like that. How about you? You're the king of the obscure TV actor. You got any autographs at home we don't know about?
When I was a little kid, I used to collect a bunch of autographs.
Still have them?
I think I do somewhere in some drawer someplace, but like people I cared about at the time that didn't hold up to the test of history, you know?
Yeah.
But cool,
I think that's the case,
like,
with most autographs.
Like Ross Martin.
Martin.
Who was the co-star of Robert Conrad on Wild Wild West. Remember that show? I got his autograph when I was a kid.
Okay. Wait, how are you interested in that as a kid?
I loved Wild Wild West as a kid. Huh. It was like James Bond in the Old West. It was awesome. It was a great show.
Okay. And, we heard from a lot of listeners like Shonda, who wrote it on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. I got the entire cast of Dr. Quinn's Medicine Women to sign my shirt once.
Yeah.
Now I can't remember anyone's name. Like,
right.
Most of those autographs, I think they go in a drawer somewhere. You just forget about them.
Yeah.
They're exciting for a very, very short period of time.
I was never a big autograph person. Collectibles and stuff, obviously, you know, I like to buy, you know, merchandise, things like that.
But yeah, but that's for display.
But I never really had people signing my stuff so much except when I was a little kid, because then everybody, you know.
Doesn't it make you feel weird, Ralph, when you sign autographs for people?
Not weird. I feel fraudulent.
Yeah. Because you know that
I feel pointless.
You know, whatever it is you're signing is worth less because you've mucked it up.
Yeah, I feel like people really need to reevaluate that choice when they ask me to sign something for them.
The amount of time between you signing and it getting lost, in air quotes,
the only time
short.
I didn't, and this has been happening a lot in the past year or so, is when people will come up with my Batman 66 comic book and they ask me to sign that. That seems like a legitimate signature.
Absolutely.
To get something like that with my signature on it, or, you know, if I'm with Kevin, Smith will sign it too. That I can see having. But just a piece of paper or something like that, no, that's just silly. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
All right. Tuesday morning, 9:42, time for our final look at the showbiz beat. What else is going on?
Real quickly, speaking of ridiculous things, not to mention, well, maybe we'll play this sometime later this week, but I found out over the weekend at Hollywood Babylon that there is an underground rapper out of London, out of the UK, who has a song out now called, I can't remember the exact name of the song.
Something having to do with Batman?
No. Like bat, like hit somebody with a bat, like beat somebody to death with a bat. And there's this long, two guys and two long raps about violence in the streets and London and Parliament and this and that. And in the middle of it, he goes, shout out to Ralph Garman.
What?
What?
Peace to George Carlin.
No.
What? That's the lyric. My name is shouted out in the middle of an underground hardcore UK rap song.
Yay!
Who else could they have meant?
They'd meant no one else.
Wow. Could they have meant Frank Garman?
No. It was the weirdest moment of my life.
We've got to hear that. You've got to bring that in.
Completely fraudulent. I had no point in being there either.
Shout out to Ralph Garman.
Yeah. It's like, get a message to that to Parliament. Shout out to Ralph Garman. Peace to George Carlin. What? And it's like this whole rap in the middle of it. And so the guy's name is Broom Man. The rapper's name is Broom Man. And we contacted him, or I didn't, but one of the Babylon listeners did.
B-R-O-O-M?
Broom. Okay. Space Man. And on Twitter, and he said, oh, absolutely. It's Ralph Garman Strong. I'm a big fan. And so I said, finally, all my years as a young African-American in this country have finally paid off.
Your struggle has paid off.
I've been recognized by one of my peers. And I think
I mostly
think he's a white
because
rapper,
your name
actually,
sort of rhymes with Parliament, right?
See, you got to just pull down your pants and take a big dump on a nice moment where something happened good for somebody.
I'm just,
don't
look,
you?
I think it's awesome.
Oh,
but I'm just saying.
I can tell by the way you lessened it. And just try to make it inconsequential by diminishing it down to the fact that my name rhymes with Parliament.
It's not inconsequential. Your name really does sort of rhyme with Parliament. So you earned that, man. But I'm saying the fact that they put, you know, George Carlin in there, who's clearly very dead for the same reason. I don't know. It just seems like he was in his zone.
He's a dick! He's a dick! He's a dick!
That's true. I'm excited for you. I can't wait to hear the song. Please bring it.
You're not going
to
hear it now. No, that is past. That conversation is over. You shan't hear it. But you can listen to it at Hollywood Babylon, the podcast. If you'd like to hear it, that's where you can go.
I got to tell you, that's awesome.
I thought so, too. And
that's really awesome.
But we were talking about feeling fraudulent. I was like, why? What's the point? Why would, in a million years, why would I be shouted out to by a rapper in the middle of a cool rap song? It makes no sense to me whatsoever. Just pointless. Just silly.
Hmm.
But flattering, nonetheless. Bruce Jenner, speaking of things that will soon have no point, Bruce Jenner is going to be interviewed by Diane Sawyer, and now we know when. The special will air on April the 24th. 2 hours, the interview will be.
Okay.
We're going to learn everything. However, insiders say he's going to come out to his family on the Keeping Up with the Kardashians season finale on May the 31st.
Sure.
And then, of course, there is that upcoming docu-series on E! That will document his full transformation. So, wait and see. But now we know when we'll hear Bruce tell his side of the story. A lot of people have been speculating, and pictures have been posted online, and stories from insiders, supposedly, who know what's going on. Now we'll know finally what's really happening with him.
I do feel like, though, in 2015, it's got to be easier to have a sexual transformation like this than in any other time in history. It does seem like a lot of people have become accustomed to it, accepted it, and there'll be a lot of support for him, I think.
I agree.
Wishing him well.
I agree. I don't know. I think the only hurdle would be his fame. I think it's the only thing that makes it much more complicated and difficult for him. I think nowadays a regular person can get a sex change operation, and it's not such a big deal. But when you're such a high-profile and sort of an icon of masculinity, too, and you know,
athlete.
A decathlete and an athlete,
yeah,
an Olympian. And then to make that choice, I think he's going to have a little bit of a long road to hoe, but wish him the best, obviously. Cinderella passed the $400 million mark around the world yesterday. That's crazy money. However, when you look at the live-action version of famous Disney animated tales, it has a long way to go before it passes Maleficent, which made over $750 million worldwide.
I didn't realize that was so huge.
No, that was a major hit. Huh. And then Alice in Wonderland pulled in more than $1 billion, which lets you know why they're doing another one. Another Alice in Wonderland will be done by Disney soon.
They're just printing money over there, aren't they?
Disney turns out they've cracked the code to giving people what they want.
Yes.
Have you seen the I'm No Angel ad campaign for this new lingerie?
I have not.
Cacique is the name of it. Apparently, it is the in-house lingerie band of Lane Bryant. And they are all over the internet this week with the I'm No Angel ad campaign, which, of course, is directly in competition with the Victoria's Secret brand, which, of course, talks about their Victoria's Secret angels. So what they're doing is positioning themselves differently.
But we're not talking badly about Victoria's Secret models. Are
no,
we?
We're not. All however, right. The Lane Bryant line, Kevin, you may not know this, given your hatred for
how dare you
women who are not conforming to your particular standards of beauty. But they cater to a larger woman.
Okay.
And by larger, I mean America.
Yeah, a normal-sized woman is what you'll find in their ad.
Yes. And so the ad campaign introduces plus-size models, as they're called, throughout the line. And it's all over the internet, and it's going to be all over television soon. So you'll see these commercials soon. But
they're
like
very
the fact
pretty.
They are very pretty. And the word plus-size never appears in the marketing for this new campaign. Because, like being mentioned, Lane Bryant says that this is not these women are not outside the norm. These aren't the exceptions. It's the Victoria's Secret models that are the exceptions. These are everyday women. And so why should we have to try to separate them by using a certain terminology that defines them in a certain way? These are just American women who are wearing lingerie. So a lot of people talking about this advertising campaign, and you'll be seeing more of it in the upcoming weeks.
But I think you're right. I think Kevin hates normal women, right?
Oh, hates them with a passion.
Hates them, yeah.
Ugh.
I don't, actually.
Just like the races. Oh, don't get me started on how he feels about the races.
Unless you're talking about the good ones, right?
Oh, right, yeah. Skinny and white. That's what Kevin always says. It's all that matters. Skinny and white.
Never said that once.
Star Wars is going to be a download. Finally, you can download Star Wars digitally to your favorite device. Starting on April the 10th, you can get Star Wars, all six previous Star Wars films on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, Xbox Video, PlayStation, Verizon Fios, you name it. You'll be able to download, finally,
well, 4, 5, and 6.
Revenge of the Sith.
You don't want 1, 2, and 3.
You could say, what the hell? It's even worse than a small screen. It's been a long time coming, and people are very excited. This, of course, leading up to the release of the 7th film, which will hit theaters next December.
This December, right?
I think it's this year, right?
Is it this December or is it next December?
Don't you tell me it's next December.
This story here says next December. Does that mean
2016?
The next December coming? Someone look it up real quick.
I think it's December 2015. I think it's this year.
Force Awakens?
Yeah, I think it's this year. I think it's the end of this year.
This story says we'll hit theaters next December. Do they mean the next December that's coming up or the December of next year? That's what confuses
me. That's a good question.
We'll just punch that in right now. Chip with her fleet fingers. December 18th, 2015, it says. So we'll be this Christmas. Well, that story is wrong, then. They should say.
I wonder if there's anyone who's ever seen movie 1, movie 2, or movie 3 more than one time. The prequels. Because you go, and you go because they're Star Wars. You go, well, I guess I want to see this. And then you go, ooh, okay.
I'm sure there's many people have
seen when they come on cable or whatever you watch it.
Oh, I think there's tons of people who went to the theaters multiple times for those films.
Really?
They're not for everyone. Not for, you know, hardcore, maybe older Star Wars fans, but there's a whole new generation that's seen those a ton of times.
Not the one with Jar Jar Binks, though, right?
Not the Phantom Menace. No, no one could sit through that one. That's brutal. Okay, today's celebrity birthdays. Francis Ford Coppola celebrates his 76th birthday today. You know, Francis Ford Coppola came up in the same class, in the same generation as filmmakers like George Lucas and Steven Spielberg and everything. I always felt bad for him because he sort of got the S-E end of the stick, really. In terms of longevity for his career, yeah. I mean, he never had a franchise. I think that's what always held him back, other than Godfather.
Wasn't Godfather a franchise?
Yeah, it was a trilogy, but it really wasn't a franchise. I mean, no one's going to make Godfather the Next Generation. Bah, 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 bah. And Disney's not going to spend $1 billion to buy the Godfather characters. I mean, he never had something like Spielberg had Indiana Jones and the Jurassic Park. And he never did a sci-fi big blockbuster kind of thing that would allow him to live in perpetuity and financial well-being. Because he always made stories about people talking to each other. And we had no time for that. Right?
Right.
Jackie Chan, 61 years old today. There's no louds. Very few louds. Russell Crowe, 51 years old today. And Jennifer Schwalbeck. My good friend who's married to Kevin Smith. She's a lovely and talented person in her own right, 44 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her off tomorrow morning on all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Deborah Ann Wolfe in the studio. She's on the new Daredevil on Netflix.
Wall.
What?
Wall is her last name, not Wolf.
Oh. How about that? I'll have to rewrite that. Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage, former Beastie Boy.
It's all Dave gave us.
It is a strange way of correcting someone.
You never would have known. Whoa! You never would have known what that meant if I hadn't told you.
Former Beastie Boy Adam Horowitz will be on the program tomorrow, and we've got your tickets for Avengers: Age of Ultron tomorrow morning.